The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went upon a mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening and he was there alone, meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not fear." Peter said in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they had gotten in the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
We often wonder where and how we can encounter the living God in our lives. And yet, it is God who longs much more than we do to encounter us in our very lives. So the two readings today, the first reading of Elijah and the second reading of Peter walking on water, presents this contrast. Elijah, expecting to experience God in the traditional way in the Bible, in the wind, in the earthquake, and in the fire. And yet, God surprised him in the tiny whispering sound, or another translation says, in the gentle breeze. Likewise, Peter expects Jesus to make him walk on water spectacularly, and that it happened for a little while. And Peter expects Jesus to dispel the winds and the waves that he's experiencing, so that he, like Jesus, in the beginning of the gospel, on the mountaintop, quiet, experiencing God. And yet in the gospel, it is precisely in the storms, in the winds, in the wave, that Peter and his companions experience. That's where Jesus encounters them. But if we look a little deeply, before the first reading, Elijah is a burnt out, depressed prophet. He had spectacularly defeated, in fact, actually wiped out the 400 prophets of Baal, of Jezebel. And now she's after him. And he's running for his life. And he runs into the desert, and he's so tired, he said, "Enough, Lord, I want to give up." And he begins to complain, as people complain in the desert. And God took him and led him. And he expected God to be spectacular in the fire, in the wind, in the earthquake. But God surprised him. And like Peter and the apostles, we expect God, to experience God, that God will save us from our various situations, financially, physically, spiritually. And even though there's summer and there might be times of boredom and such, but stress and difficulties of life still happens. Terminal cancer still happens. The fear that kind of grips us, our political system, is still there. The many winds and waves and thunder of our lives continue. And many times when you and I pray, we expect God to be like a Hollywood producer. Spectacular Hollywood production. Wiped out all this stuff so I can be with you, Lord, and all my troubles will go away. And yes, there are times in our life God acts in that way. But much, much more so, God surprises you and I in the ordinary, in the small moments of our life. So I just came back from 3 weeks of pilgrimage, following the footsteps of St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, my order. We went to northern Spain and Italy, and there were a lot of amazing, beautiful places and cathedral and nature and all these churches. And I've been there before. And the group that I went with is an amazing group of people. And yet what surprised me was, I didn't expect this. The worst side of myself came out. You know, there are things we don't like about our parents, and yet we discover that we have them. And it's my father's impatience. And I find on the trip, I was so impatient with people's impatience. It surprised the heck out of me. Here I am in this beautiful, beautiful 1,500-year-old church and seeing these signs that moved Ignatius, and I was moved, but I discover so much impatience, more than I usually am. And I discovered things about myself, like my father, that I hated. Which when I came back, I talked to him, and there he goes again, impatient. But I find myself smiling. And yet on the trip, there were some spectacular places and moments. But yet there were some moments which were simple, would still stay with me as I came back. And one of those was simply looking at a statue of a simple Mary. Another one was looking at a picture of Jesus' Sacred Heart, extending his heart out and saying, "Here's my heart, I give this to you, give me your heart." And you think that we have to go all the way to Europe for that, and yet, if you ever looked at this statue of Jesus, the Sacred Heart, it's exceedingly beautiful. And this statue of Mary, incredibly gentle. And if you ever sit before the Blessed Sacrament, so ordinary you see all the time, the Lord is definitely there. And this is how the Lord surprises you and I in so, so many ways. A friend of mine in the mid-30s is a single mom. Her name is Sarah. She tells me recently that this one afternoon, she received another bill from the IRS, more taxes than she anticipated. But this is on top of three other bills that she cannot pay. And her husband, they are estranged and they are separated, and he's not supporting her right now. And here she is, another unexpected bill on top of many other stresses in her life. And she started to cry. And yet her one-year-old boy, Jeremiah, looks at her, and he smiles, and he pulls out his pacifier to give it to her. And in that moment, she cried, and she said, "In the look of my one-year-old son, I saw Jesus. My son didn't say anything, But it's like Jesus telling me, Sarah, I'm here. I'm with you. Together, we can pass through these waves and these storms in our lives. This is what happens in the gospel. While Peter and the disciples and us in our lives are being battered by the waves and the winds and the storms of our life, which sometimes can rise overwhelming ways, like Sarah. And Jesus comes to them in a surprising way, and they thought that he's a ghost, another threat, but he says, it is I. Don't be afraid. I'm here. And then Peter expects the extraordinary. Hey, command me, you know, do this great miracle in my life. And Jesus surprisingly says, come. And while Peter keeps his eyes on Jesus, he walks on water. He doesn't mean to walk on water. He just wants to see and be with the one he loves and the one who loves him. And then as soon as he takes his eyes off Jesus, he pays attention to the winds and the waves, sinks. And fortunately, he cries out, Lord, have mercy. And Jesus, both in an encouraging way and in a loving, scolding way, oh, you of little faith. And then he saves Peter, and Peter and Jesus walks back into the boat, and the storm calms down. With Jesus in our lives, we can walk on water without knowing. With Jesus in the boat of our lives, all the things continue to be, and yet there could be peace. So my sisters and brothers, though you and I expect the Lord to be in extraordinary ways, or in ways we think we are used to the experience God in the past, God often surprising us, asking us to stretch beyond the caves and the boats of our limited perspective. And God asks us to step out of the ways we are used to be comfortable to experience God and with our own security, so we may encounter God in very simple, ordinary ways. So I'm going to ask you to do a 2-minute exercise with me. And I hope it's an exercise that you and I could do in the coming week, an exercise that we could do right after we receive communion, whether you receive it with the body and blood of Christ or we receive it spiritually. So if you can, for 2 minutes, if you can, please close your eyes. No cheating. I can see you. And try to recall a moment and an experience in the past where you can glimpse at how God is so near to you, how God loves, how God looks at you. Well, if that's difficult, try to recall through the eyes of a friend, a loved one, even a stranger, their compassionate look, the way they look at you reminds you or opens up to you the way God looks. And let the way God looks, let the way this person look at you to sink in. Maybe to say and to communicate, I'm here. I'm here. Do not be afraid. This storm, this difficulty, together we can weather it. Thank you, everyone. You can open your eyes. My sisters and brothers, God longs to encounter you and I much more than we long to encounter God, but in surprising ways, in ways which steadies us, not beyond our troubles and difficulties or impatience or our troubled humanity, but precisely in the storms of our life, in our impatience, even in our own inability to accept and love others. Let this Eucharist, let this week, be God's way of surprising us beyond the caves, beyond the boats, beyond the storms, or through the storms of our lives.